Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall, and by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. And now, here are your hosts, Mike McBee and nurse practitioner Melanie Dorian.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm Mike McBee. I'm with my co-host, nurse practitioner Melanie Dorian. How are you, Melanie?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you, Mike?
Oh, great. Doing really well. And we have Dr. Cope with us, and I'm going to let Melanie introduce her. We were talking briefly before the show, and I am so excited to have her on. So take it away, Mel.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Cope, for joining us. Dr. Cope is a naturopathic physician. She trained in naturopathic medicine and has subspecialized since then in women's health and having a really holistic, comprehensive approach to women's health, and supports women at every point in their health journey, every significant transition. And she's helped multiple of my patients, has helped myself. So we've collaborated closely on many patients. And she's also, in the last couple of years, has another side interest that's becoming a great passion that she calls street medicine. So I will let Dr. Cope introduce those things to us. But thank you for joining us, Dr. Cope.
Thank you.
How you got to do this awesome form of medicine that you do and these awesome approaches. So just briefly tell us, you know, like where you went to school and what brought you to this approach in medicine.
So originally when I started undergraduate, I actually just wanted to be a horse trainer. So my first thing was veterinary medicine, and I got dragged in by a developmental psych professor from UVA, where I was just taking some classes at the community college, and that led me to want to help in the mental health perspective. And eventually I was like, well, I want to help people's bodies too, because I don't think they're really separate. I went into my counselor at the time and I was like, hey, I think I want to go into some form of neuro or psych or something, but I want to have a greenhouse and have like herbs and teas instead of medications and take people out on canoes and talk to them. And she's like, that sounds really great. Good luck. And so I realized that I might be in school for the next 50 years to get all the degrees and stumbled into a naturopath. I found out that wrapped all up into one degree is something that heals the spirit, the mind, and the body in one big medical system. So the first time I went and shadowed that naturopath in Arizona when I was about to enroll into DO school, I just went home and cried. Like, wow, one person can do everything. And I called my parents and told them that I was no longer going to DO school. They were kind of upset and they were like, well, what is it? I think that they thought I was going to like grow dreadlocks and play the drums in medical school.
Yep, that's what we do in naturopathic medicine.
Yes. And so eventually about my second year of school, they found out like, oh, we never talked to her. Like, I think she's in real medical school. And not only that, we have hours and hours more of classes to be able to practice everything from herbs to homeopathy to physical medicine to healing the whole body. You need all of the medicines as we both practice integrated. And so it was quite intensive. And then later on, what we will talk about is I just realized in the community clinics that there was a lot of health disparities, people with drug addictions and houseless that couldn't access the medicine that I wanted to practice. And so that always kind of stood on the edge of my mind. And later on, I found another type of medicine that can help out the community too. Not only that, but go into communities and teach them how to heal each other, where they don't have to go into doctors that may be less comfortable because of the color of our skin. You know, we're all white on this program, or because of the way that we've been trained that we're just not as culturally sensitive and competent to deal with people's trauma. And so that's what led me into street medicine.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you stumbled, as you say, as you said, into this medicine. So tell us a little bit about your approach in women's health, because that's one of the areas where we've collaborated closely on multiple patients, and you've been a wealth of information, and you still are. So just to our listeners, FYI, I will reach out regularly to Dr. Cope when I have a more women's health specific question. And she is a support and wealth of knowledge for myself and my patients. I pick her brain on a regular basis. It's been a little bit harder with COVID, but we stay in touch as much as we can. Tell us a little bit about your approach with this holistic integrative approach, naturopathic approach for women's health.
Yeah, so basically what I found, especially going through medical school, is that women just need more help with the hormones. The more and more that we age and more exposures that we have into the just general environment, everything that we touch is plastic, basically. And the more and more stressed we get, our hormones just seem a little bit off. And I think that we've all experienced that at some point, that we're like, wow, that period was different. And that's like a fifth vital sign. And so through medical school, I didn't have periods, like final exams or midterms or things like that. And I was kind of like, oh, this is nice. I'll have to deal with this roller coaster. This is great. And then as I started to get more and more habituated to the stress, then my periods were not so great and not so easy, as like I started to gain enough body fat because I could actually eat when I wasn't overly stressed. And so I just started to become more and more curious about why that part gets ignored in medicine. And even, you know, through naturopathic school, we had a pretty decent women's health education, but it wasn't talked about as deeply as, you know, people like Jolene Brighton or Nicole Jardim, or that I myself speak about. That there's a vital sign that we get to cover every single month. And that's one advantage that we as women have over men, is like, yeah, we have this monthly cycle that we might feel like we have like one normal week in our month, but then we have also this like this early indicator that something may be just off because of that one normal week, to like, you know, crying before your period or angry and ragey or just simply low energy. And so I just started to study more and more and took more and more webinars and asked more and more experts and got really ingrained into how beautiful it is that we have a monthly cycle. I took one course on herbalism that was specifically herbalism and PCOS with Dr. Jill Stansberry. She's still one of my absolute favorite herbalists to follow. And started realizing the symphony that it comes into to create a totality of health with our hormones, that it means our thyroid, our adrenals, our ovaries, every parathyroid, every single thing. And that's like the endocrine system is such a symphony and such an orchestra that there's not one pill such as birth control that can really, really help. We need our livers to be functioning. We need our endocrine system to be functioning, and everything put together in order to create a total health for women to be fertile and healthy and thrive day to day.
Taya, that's amazing. Total health for women. Folks, you are listening to Your Health right here on 97.9 The Wren. We are talking with Dr. Cope. She's a naturopathic doctor, and we're talking about women's health.
Dr. I want to pick out a couple things here, because you just loaded us with amazing information, and you put it so beautifully and eloquently. I love how you presented the woman's health, and especially the woman's hormones, as a symphony and an orchestra. And that's really what it is. And when one or two instruments or musicians are out of sync, things can become chaotic really quickly. And I think it's a beautiful analogy. And I really like also that you presented periods and the woman's cycle as a fifth vital sign. And I want to circle back to that, because it's often seen from the medical field and from many women as just a really huge inconvenience. So, well, yeah, it can be annoying when things are out of whack. But at the same time, when things are balanced, it shouldn't really compromise your daily living and your daily quality of life. So tell us a little bit more about what you mean by it's a fifth vital sign, because I think it's so critical for both men and women to hear this.
Mm-hmm. So the vitals are, you know, basic life, respiratory rate, how's the blood pressure and how's the temperature? And that's like, that's a sign of vitality. And so our period in the same way is a sign of vitality, and it's a check-in every single month of how healthy we are. For instance, if somebody is bleeding very heavily, it could be a sign of endometriosis, it could be a sign of anemia, it could be a sign of PCOS, and it could be a sign just simply that maybe their liver isn't functioning as well, and so they're a little bit estrogen dominant, because the liver is what converts fat-soluble, insoluble toxins to water-soluble so you can poop them out. And so that's basically what I mean by fifth vital sign, is it's just a check-in of a woman's vitality. And it's a great thing that you can observe, because day-to-day, any woman knows that, like, we wake up and one day is totally different from the other day. Whereas the medical system is developed off of a men's hormonal system, which is a 24-hour cycle. Mm. And so the medical system, the daily work cycle and everything, that is a men's hormonal system. Whereas we get to be different every day. It's kind of exciting, the fact that it's unpredictable and chaotic. It's like, ooh.
So much here to unpack. Dr. Cope, explain to our listeners, maybe, and I know this is a totally loaded question, but some of the things, how you would approach some of the most typical women's health imbalances that, you know, come your way, and how you would approach that, just so our listeners can understand how a naturopathic physician will approach a woman's health concern.
So if you go to your gynecologist and say something's off, they're going to probably just put you on birth control. And so that's just like the band-aid. And it's like, here, regular cycles, everything's good. And then that totally suppresses progesterone. And it totally just like, it levels everything out, maybe physically to you. And then there's a whole entire cascade of events that we both know that can happen. Birth control is only good to prevent having an unwanted pregnancy. That's what birth control is for. It's not for anything else. And so if somebody comes into me and says, you know, I'm not having a period, I have painful periods, I have acne, hair loss, heavy bleeding, irregular periods, that's usually what people come in. So you would just ask me a question after I got done explaining the symptoms that women may come in to see me for.
How a naturopathic physician and your approach, I mean, we're mm-hmm. specifically wanting to hear about your approach mm-hmm. that okay, incorporates great. The naturopathic approach.
Yeah. And so if you go into any naturopath, then you're going to be in the first visit for anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes, because we have very extensive intakes that looks at you head to toe, system by system, and as a whole person. And in particular, I know that Melanie and I both use like an MSQ to kind of prioritize which systems to approach first. And also, for me, what I generally look at is because the uterus and women's hormones are so connected to our sexual functioning, it can also be connected to trauma. And so I look at everything from the lens of trauma, if you've had any, and stress through the lens of hormones. And so often there'll be a hormone test, and always look at, you know, what the ovaries are doing, what your brain is saying in response to hormones, what your thyroid is saying in response to your hormones, what the adrenals are saying, what your cortisol is doing. And one of the greatest strengths that I have is that I'm a really good herbalist. And so everybody gets a custom formula that will help, say, if like you're not able to take a full breath because you're really anxious day to day, there is an herb for that. And if you're running cooler, there's an herb to help warm you up. If you're running hotter, there's an herb to help cool you down. And so I approach everything from a system of adrenals to your brain hormones to your ovarian hormones. And then you as a whole person, how your nervous system may be responding to your health and to your day-to-day life. So using a variation of labs just to our talk and getting to know you, there's a complete treatment plan in order to help you function the best as possible. Often people can be having a lot of digestive health issues, which any natural medicine expert is going to apply digestive health to everything. There's actually even a particular sect of microbiology that helps you metabolize estrogen if you're running more estrogen dominant, called the estrobolome. And so you can't ignore if somebody's having like bloating or gas or anything like that, because you need to be metabolizing all the toxins that could be interfering with your hormones out and pooping and peeing them out.
So a very comprehensive approach. So people will
basically,
it's very, but it's important for our listeners to understand when you go see Dr. Cope and you see a naturopathic physician, there is extensive testing. Then it results in a very individualized plan. And as Dr. Cope mentioned, she's a very talented herbalist. So she will custom design some herbal medicines for your specific need or your specific imbalances and health concerns. And that's really important to understand, because it is not one size fits all. It's not about, let's just get your cycle regular and put you on birth control. Speaking of birth control, can you go into a little bit, again, another loaded question, but I think birth control has been made way too common. The long-term impact and side effects have not been discussed actually thoroughly and properly with women. It's overly prescribed, in my opinion, in a lot of cases, and inappropriately prescribed. So tell our listeners some of the long-term impact and consequences of staying on birth control.
So there's a lot of different forms of birth control. The IUD has become very common, and then so has the Implanon, which is it's like a little micro injection of birth control into your arm. And then also there's the classic oral forms of birth control. When you're taking hormonal contraceptives, those are the oral or the Implanon, and then the IUD can be, if it's Skylar or progestin-based birth control, then you are taking exogenous hormones, which are the ultimate endocrine disruptors, and taking them daily. It's great if you don't want to get pregnant. It's awesome for that. I'm not anti-birth control. And the long-term complications of birth control, which I see with people coming into my office almost every single time, especially people that are going through menopausal changes, is that you get off of it and your hormones just go haywire, because they've been relying on you taking an exogenous or pill form of progesterone and estrogen, which totally shuts down the brain's response and the thyroid's response to your natural ovarian progesterone and estrogen that is going to be released. And so month to month, you just have a rise of estrogen and then a rise of progesterone, and then LH and FSH are the brain's responses that I've often been talking about. And so when you're taking progesterone, it shuts off to the brain to be releasing either LH or FSH, or when you're taking estrogen, the same thing. And so when you shut down your natural progesterone, Melanie, do you prescribe out progesterone?
I will prescribe progesterone, yes.
Yeah, it's great. It's an anti-inflammatory hormone, and it helps the thyroid function. It helps your metabolism function. It helps make things nice and kind of like juicy, if you will. estrogen and progesterone makes everything nice and juicy. And yeah. So you can imagine when things are no longer nice and juicy, when you start to go off of them, that can mean your brain tissue. It can mean your vaginal tissue. And also you can start to have more yeast infections or things like that, because your tissues start to atrophy a little bit, almost as if you're going through some type of, like, you can think about it as like a perimenopausal period. Your tissues start to atrophy a little bit more when they're not nice and juicy anymore. And so that is often what I will see, is like a lot of yeast infections, a lot of depression.
Brain fog, right? We see a lot of brain fog.
Yeah, the microbiome gets totally thrown off, and tons of systemic yeast. The thyroid gets thrown off. It's pretty wild.
In my patients, especially on the oral contraceptives, because it's going to be a higher dose of hormone, Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people with cortisol and adrenal issues and contributing to a scenario of more like the chronically fatigued patient after years of being on oral contraceptives or wow. hormonal contraceptive. And that's something that I've also noticed in addition to thyroid issues and of course like a rebound sort of chaotic hormonal cycle, but this chronically fatigued, chronically depleted brain fog patient, which is probably over half of my patients, but mm-hmm. maybe also a little bit about how long-term use of oral contraceptives or hormonal contraceptives can affect like woman's energy and woman's adrenal function.
Yes, 100%. And that goes all the way back to, if you pick up any endocrinology textbook and like especially the older ones will kind of just show you how everything's attached and it really looks like almost like a spider web in the body. And so when you just mess with one thing or put one thing in there, you create a mistuned instrument in the body, which then that vibration and that ongoing effect, especially if you're going to be taking it, you know, for 10 years, 15 years, or through college years, is going to have a cascading effect on somebody's health. Not always, but I would say about 80% of the time.
I want to let everybody know they're listening to Your Health right here on 97.9 The Wren. I'm Mike McBee with my co-host Melanie Dorion, and we are talking to Dr. Cope about women's health. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Your Health on 97.9 The Wren, brought to you by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center and by Hamilton's on the Downtown Mall, featuring sustainable fine dining on Charlottesville's Downtown Mall for over 20 years. Mike and Melanie will be right back.
Support for this station today is from Rebecca's Natural Food in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. During this COVID emergency, you can find out about Rebecca's daily hours, mail order options, and front of store pickup at 977-1965 or at rebeccasnaturalfoods.com. Rebecca stands with the community during this time of social distancing and is there to safely provide the nutritional support you need. That's Rebecca's Natural Food in the Barracks Road Shopping Center at 977-1965 or at rebeccasnaturalfoods.com. Support today is coming from Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of contemporary American fine dining on Charlottesville's historic downtown mall. At Hamilton's, you'll find a seafood, steaks, and vegetarian fare with a full bar and eclectic wine list. Hamilton's supports sustainability in food production, transportation, and preparation, and in the community at large. You can see the lunch and dinner menus, make a reservation, or book the private dining space for your function all at hamiltonsrestaurant.com.
All right, we are back and we are talking with Dr. Cope and my co-host Melanie Dorion talking about women's health and a naturopathic medicine approach.
Dr. Cope, thank you so much again for joining. You're really going to help our listeners, especially the woman or female listeners who really need to hear this information, because the other thing that you are amazing at and is part of your mission as a physician is to empower women in their own health and their own health journeys. And that's something that often is not done and it hasn't been done for women. We have not been taught health and to really balance things out so you can have thriving women's health throughout the entire woman's, you know, hormonal cycle and journey. I want to transition a little bit now to your other passion, street medicine. And also that ties in because of all the things going on and some protests and riots and COVID, and we're going to transition a little bit into that. So tell us about your street medicine passion.
Yeah. So I originally stumbled into street medicine. Gosh, I think that the Standing Rock or Dakota Access Pipeline Resistance was 4 or 5 years ago. And I went to just simply go and help out with some lifestyle medicine. I was like, oh yeah, high rates of diabetes and heart disease. I'll go give people this, be there. And then I quickly buddied up with an old combat medic from the Air Force in Green Beret and ended up right on the front lines as basically it's kind of like a front lines physician that would be in combat medicine. It's just that often what's going on now, people don't think of people that are standing up as justice in the streets as veterans. And so I guess you could say in some ways that like a lot of my friends that are out on the front lines right now are were veterans and combat medics. So street medicine was originally developed during the movement by the Black Panthers. And what happened was they saw doctors and nurse practitioners that had a big passion for justice and seeing equality and rights out in the front lines with white coats and stethoscopes. And so somebody had pulled somebody aside and said, like, hey, I want to know what you're doing. And so they developed together a whole entire systematic training that's about 22 hours to help civilians in their own communities and on the front lines give life-saving options and recognize anything that could save a life or else help out communities that, as we all know right now, it's being talked about. There's great health disparities that are being finally recognized in mainstream media between white folk and Black and brown folk. And we, as white people on this call, we all have a greater access to medicine just simply by the color of our skin. And so as I fell more and more into street medicine and the justice world, it's actually what brought me to Virginia. I teamed up with one of my dear friends that I call her my other mom, and we started some community health coalitions in Richmond, Virginia.
That's fantastic. You go and you're present as a physician on site when there's protests and possible riots and possibly medical need, but also you go into communities and outside of having protests and riots and help educate community members on how to take care of their own health and their community members' health. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. I would say that the greatest effect and impact that I have had during this time is that I helped out with 3 street medic trainings. And so that 22-hour training, they were packed. And so in 4 days, we train people. I train more on the integrated side. I'm not presenting myself, which we all that want to help can have an issue with having a white savior complex. I'm not presenting myself like, I know the tools, let me help you. It's actually closing the health disparities more because knowledge that we have had the privilege to obtain or subconsciously been gatekeeping and continue to educate people in the Black and brown communities so they can help themselves, that we don't actually have to go into the community and create a codependent issue.
That's really awesome. I really like what you're doing. So tell us a little bit in terms of this time of tremendous increased stress during COVID. And I ask all of our healthcare providers who come on the show, you know, what they've seen, how their patients or clients have been impacted with COVID. So some of the key things that you've seen, how you're addressing that with your naturopathic medical approach, and then transition into give us some of your top tips to help our listeners stay healthy through this period.
That's a great question. So we're all social beings and we're meant to be like tending and friending with each other and running in packs. So it's been very hard on all of us to have this screen as a divider. And so the greatest issues that I've seen is that our general stress coping mechanisms are no longer working for us. We need to be working a little bit harder at our coping mechanisms and actually shifting some of them too. And so people's sleep has been an issue. People's immune systems are down because their stress hormones are up. And that has been the greatest help that I've had for folk is just offering, you know, very simple herbal intakes at a discounted price to be able to help with stress relief. And then also offering somatic experiencing, which is another modality that I practice. It's basically an embodied form of stress relief to help people get more and more in tune and embodied with themselves to grow their capacity for stress. And so somatic experiencing was originally developed by Peter Levine as a trauma relief system in order to help discharge trauma that's stored in the body and also to help your middle brain, your lizard brain, recognize where your stress is registering in your body. And so then that way your frontal cortex and your middle brain can kind of align themselves, and you can see and think where your body's at, and then recognize when it's a little bit off tune or when you're no longer in your body and in your feet and grounded. So those have been the two greatest things. There's been a lot of kava that's been handed out.
tell our listeners what kava is.
So kava is my go-to herb just to absolutely relax and chill out. I take it in tincture form and prescribe it out in tincture form. It's a little bit mouth numbing and it's very, very strong. It works on the GABA receptor similar to how alcohol does. And so you don't really want to mix it with alcohol or any type of anti-anxiety drugs because it's that strong. And it immediately chills you out. Often I'll have cava coladas instead of cocktails with my friends because we can just relax and get giggly together. I grow a lot of my own plants though and make a lot of stuff.
And that's what Melanie was saying. Yeah, mm-hmm. She was saying you grow a lot of your own herbs. So that's pretty cool. You're listening to Your Health right here on 97.9 The Wren. We are talking with Dr. Cope and we are talking about women's health and herbal medicine and ways to reduce stress. So you were saying the stress relator is
somatic experiencing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Somatic. Yeah. That's interesting.
Soma is body. Yeah. Soma is body in Latin.
Somatic. Soma. Oh, all right. All right. Interesting. I love that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that helps reduce stress. In the morning, one of the first things to do is to go outside with your bare feet and get your feet on the soil. Whether it's grass or dirt, doesn't matter. Get it on the soil. Is that part of that?
That is part of that. That is something I do every morning is walk outside barefoot to the garden. I got triggered recently though, but
Yeah. That's another show, folks. No.
So yeah, you walk outside and that's an old school naturopathic treatment. Naturopathy was originally developed by eclectic physicians in Germany, and it was basically people that were starting to live sedentary lifestyles as we do now, and they had like in-house sanatoriums, so you wouldn't just come into an office. You would go and stay with a physician for a month, and they had them walking outside in those high mountains in Germany, cold dew on their feet. But the earth is one big negatively charged electron and free radicals are positively charged. So basically the earth can join with our body and neutralize free radicals, which run around causing damage all over our body. They didn't know that at the time, but it's just wisdom medicine, common sense.
That's really interesting. I love the science. I love the science.
Me too.
We do too. Yeah. Dr. Cope, why don't we wrap up with you giving us your top three tips for our listeners to find, stay healthy, better cope with stress. We already talked about, you know, one of them, grounding, and you can revisit that. And then tell our listeners how they can reach you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, during this time of COVID, which isn't going away anytime soon, I often tell people to get blue light blockers because we're FaceTiming and Zooming more and more with our friends. And that helps so that your system isn't registering this like blue LED light and it blocks out the blue light, whereas the red light is healthier for our hormones in our system. So if you're having a blue light at nighttime, it totally shuts off your melatonin production and your human growth hormone, which helps with repair. And so during COVID, that's been something I've been really expressive on. Everybody needs to be on adaptogens, which are herbs that help regulate out your cortisol and your HPA axis almost every single day, and especially right now during COVID. And the greatest doctors are sunlight, fresh air, water, exercise, continue to move your lymphatic system, continue to get good sunlight, and continue to just nourish yourself, especially during this time of late summer and fall and going into winter, just getting outside in natural surroundings, not in a well-manicured yard. Get out in the woods. All the research on forest bathing is that the wild contours of nature and the natural contours of nature are actually what helps your cortisol levels more than any adaptogen or herb or anything. It's your lifestyle of what you're living day to day that everybody can shift. And I think that we've all found that as we've had to slow down through the months of COVID and then picking back up onto our regular schedules, we've all brought some of that back with us. And so to continue to nourish that through the winter, through the late summer, through the fall, will really, really help you stay healthy and well for the rest of your life.
What are some adaptogens?
Adaptogenic herbs, Tulsi. Holy basil is something that every single patient gets. And about a quarter of their formula, Tulsi always takes it up. Rose happens to be one of my favorite ones. So to help relax and cool and nourish, especially, I mean, it's great with everybody, but it's really amazing for women and their anxiety. Milky oats is something that is very, very cooling. It's something that I use for people that are recovering from addictions or smoking or drinking. It's a very nutritive adaptogen. Some adaptogens are nutritive and some help up cortisol and some help down cortisol. But every single herb that I mention is always amphoteric, kind of like an amphibian. It works to upregulate hormones that need to be upregulated and down regulate hormones that need to be down-regulated.
Those are great. I love Tulsi. Holy basil is probably, I would like to plant it all over my yard if I could. And I think I may have shared this story once, but I'm going to share it again because it's so pertinent. I planted multiple, but only one Tulsi plant that survived. And one of my little anxious kittens, he's now a teenager, but that's always where he goes and lays down, right next to the holy basil plant. And he's got lots of other areas, but he loves that location. And I put it together after a couple times I noticed that he was just wanting to be next to the holy basil plant. So it's very interesting and it's so good. It's beautiful. Also, it's floral. It tastes good, smells good. You can eat it. I put it in my foods, but I drink it in tea. So I'm with you, Dr. Cope. I love holy basil.
It's in everything, every which way. Same. How often do you use licorice, Melanie? I use that quite a bit.
Well, with so many people having really high cortisol right now, you know, I use it as a cortisol sparing herb. So I'm sprinkling it in a lot more to help protect the adrenals in my patients. Mm-hmm. But I pulse it in or I use it more short term. Given all the stress that we have, I have been using licorice a little bit more. And it's also supportive for digestive issues. So I use it in both of those regards. But I would say I've increased more of the more anxiolytic adaptogens. So the adaptogen, the herbals that will help calm, and not so much the ones that up and increase or support higher levels of cortisol. So I'm doing more of the milky oats, the Tulsi, holy basil, ashwagandha, a little bit more rhodiola. So some of the more calming herbals. But I have used, because of the state of depletion, I've used a little bit more licorice in my practice.
Yeah, I'm finding that I'm using that more.
Yeah. Why don't you let us know how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I'm mostly online in the days of COVID. And so Dr. Cope Health, DrCope, health.com is my website where you can schedule appointments. And I also have an office phone that's 434-242-9703. If you're just curious about doing maybe a little 15-minute get-to-know-me appointment, I've been doing that more and more since people have had a little bit of job issues and financial issues with COVID, is the free 15-minute consults. And so for any of your listeners here, they can just message me on that and let me know that they heard this interview.
Really good information, Dr. Cope. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to work with Melanie, and it's been lovely to meet you. And
yeah, well, I might be calling you.
So, Dr. Cope, tell us how our listeners can get a hold of you through social media.
Actually, most people schedule appointments through my Instagram, which has been a very interesting integration for me. And so Instagram is my business name of Copaesthetic Health. And I have a funky spelling on Copaesthetic because back in Oregon, I did more aesthetics medicine. So Copaesthetic is Copaesthetic. Copaesthetic Health on Instagram. And there's a link right in there to my website. And you can get to know my personality and me a little bit more just through scanning that. You'll see pictures of my dog and my horse and my garden and me ranting about the current justice state. I try to do that a little bit less because we're all inundated on social media, but every once in a while I get a bit fired up and have to say something.
Picture of you pulling your horse was hilarious.
She did not want to go work out.
She did not want to move. It was a hard no. Yeah. No,
we're not working out. We're not.
Dr. Cope, this was amazing to have you on the show today. Always a wealth of information. I learned something every single time we talk. Thank you again for being on the show. And hopefully we can actually interview you again, because I feel like there's so much more depth that we can go into on so many topics. So Mike, what do you think? Maybe you can bring her back in a couple weeks or a couple months.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I'd like to get a round table.
It would be really nice to have that. And I think that we could definitely talk more and more about the history of women's health and health disparities and how they've been created through medicine.
Yes. Yes. That would really be good. I'm glad that it's coming out. It's about time.
It's about time.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great. And it was lovely talking with you.
You're listening to Your Health, brought to you by Hamilton's Own Downtown Mall and by Rebecca's Natural Foods, where your journey to a healthy life begins. To Your Health is heard every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 on 97.9 The Wren. Mike and Melanie will be right back after these messages.
Support today is coming from Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of contemporary American fine dining on Charlottesville's historic downtown mall. At Hamilton's, you'll find a seafood, steaks, and vegetarian fare with a full bar and eclectic wine list. Hamilton's supports sustainability in food production, transportation, and preparation, and in the community at large. You can see the lunch and dinner menus, make a reservation, or book the private dining space for your function, all at hamiltonsrestaurant.com. Support for this station today is from Rebecca's Natural Food in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. During this COVID emergency, you can find out about Rebecca's daily hours, mail order options, and front of store pickup at 977-1965 or at rebeccasnaturalfoods.com. Rebecca stands with the community during this time of social distancing and is there to safely provide the nutritional support you need. That's Rebecca's Natural Food in the Barracks Road Shopping Center at 977-1965 or at rebeccasnaturalfoods.com.
Well, Mel, that interview with Dr. Cope was amazing and really covered a lot of women's health issues. But what about hormones in general? I know you do some work in that area as well, right?
Absolutely. And I would like to thank Dr. Cope again for joining us.
Yes, absolutely.
So much amazing information. You know, we were focusing on women's health, but I think it brings up, like you said, the bigger topic of hormones in general. And I do a lot of hormone management at Be Vital. My patients come, they're fatigued, they're depleted, they have multiple infections, toxins, they're overweight. But a core element that I see, other than toxins and needing help with diet and lifestyle, is hormonal imbalances. And I see this equally in men and women. So we focused with Dr. Cope on women's health concerns and women's hormones, but I see a lot of imbalances in men as well, and not just in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. I have a colleague in Seattle who's a male health specialist. He uses functional and naturopathic medicine, and that's all he does. And he did confirm that there's an epidemic, for example, of suboptimal or just frank low levels of testosterone in 30 and 40-year-old men. So this is really a problem. And it circles back to a topic you and I have had. We have a lot of chemicals in our food chain, in our cosmetic products, in our everyday lives. And a lot of these are called endocrine disruptors. So they are chemicals that will disrupt our hormones, leading to frank low levels, suboptimal levels, or the body's inability to use these hormones because the receptors are blocked because of the toxins or infections. So I see this all the time, a really significant need for hormonal support. I definitely do a lot of that in my practice, for sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned toxins in the food chain and in our other products, and I just wanted to do a real quick aside, a personal level. I was feeling kind of strange, and I had my skin was itching and that sort of thing, and my wife as well, and we stopped using a commercial detergent to wash our clothes.
Oh, interesting.
And we simply went with a totally free from everything laundry detergent with no deodorizers or perfumes or anything like that.
Yep.
And all that cleared up. So that's just a little tip. If you're having problems, itchy skin or rashes or whatever, check out your laundry detergent. That could be something that is causing that, and you didn't even know it.
That's a great tip. They actually sneak in so much nasty stuff in cleaning products, in detergents, and in any cosmetics or topicals, lotions. They sneak in so many toxins, and they're very disruptive. And some of these toxins and chemicals are known to be carcinogens, so they cause cancer, and they are known. They're known to be endocrine disruptors, so they disrupt and they mess with your hormones. So I really like that you bring up that example, Mike, that laundry detergent, you know, had an impact on you and your health, and changing to a product that was more natural, hopefully plant-based, and that does not contain the dyes, the perfumes, and all the other chemicals. Yeah, it might make your laundry smell nice, or you think it does, but the impact of that on your health is totally not worth it.
Holy no, not. Absolutely not. And there's nothing that smells better than just clean. You know, when it's just clean, you don't want to smell, oh, it smells like roses. Uh-oh, where'd that come from? You know,
just clean smells fantastic, guys.
It does.
All right. You heard it at To Your Health here with Mike and Melanie. Clean smells good.
Yeah, it does.
There's nothing that smells better than clean.
Absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
Be clean.
Yeah.
People.
Yes. Those things definitely interfere with our hormones. So let's get back to that. What do you find, Melanie, in some of your patients when their hormones are out of balance? How can they tell?
So often the symptoms mimic a lot of other things. They mimic low mood or depression. They can mimic anxiety. They mimic metabolic imbalances. They're gaining weight. They're more fatigued. Another one that I hear a lot, especially with people with thyroid hormone issues, is they have a hard time with their cognition, or they have what we call brain fog, where they tell me my memory is just not the same. Like, I can't process as many things. I get overwhelmed easily, or I just forget things easily. I have to take notes all the time, where I used to remember to-do lists that contained 5 or 6 things, and now I can't remember 2. Like, that brain fog, those are key things, especially if there's like a component of fatigue where you're sleeping well, you're taking good care of yourself, yet you're still waking up feeling depleted, or you crash in the afternoons, like you're exhausted and you need like a, you know, 2-3 p.m. coffee, sugar, pick me up, a support, and your exercise tolerance is lower, meaning you just can't tolerate exercise, or you've stopped building muscles, or you're losing muscle mass. Those are all hints that there's a hormone imbalance, and we need to investigate.
And investigating is what you do best, Mel. You're listening to Your Health right here on 97.9 The Wren. My co-host, Melanie Doria, nurse practitioner, and I are talking about hormone health and managing those hormones.
And just to our listeners to remind, when we talk about hormones, we have a lot of hormones. So we talk about sex hormones, which are male female sex hormones, such as estrogens, progesterone, testosterone. Those are the sex hormones. But we have thyroid hormones. We have a couple different thyroid hormones, not just one. We also have the stress hormones, and that I do, it's in a way my bread and butter to help my patients with managing or better managing their stress hormones, because they come to me fatigued and depleted. So the cortisol and then the adrenaline hormones, so norepinephrine and epinephrine, are part of our stress hormones. And that's a quick snapshot. We have a lot of other hormones, but those are probably the main hormones that I see for my patients who come to me that need some support and need some investigation.
Oh, and stress, of course, is increased with the coronavirus. People are Absolutely. Afraid or they don't want to go anywhere. They're homebound and they're afraid to go out. And of course, that's going to increase your stress hormones like crazy, right?
Exactly. And what happens is when your stress level goes up, like your baseline stress level, which everyone on the planet now has an increased baseline stress level because of COVID. We all have to have a higher heightened awareness. We all have to be more careful. We have fewer social outlets. So our baseline stress is higher. If you don't learn how to cope with that, if you don't have good outlets or good ways to manage that, then it builds up and then it becomes chronic stress, chronic ongoing 6+ months of stress. And that becomes disruptive. At the beginning, that stress response hormone is helpful. It gets you through crap. It gets you through when you're exhausted. It gives you a little bit more energy. But when that becomes chronic, then there's an issue because that becomes disruptive. It actually messes with other hormones. It starts blocking your ability to have access to your frontal lobe or your higher level of cognition. That's where people are like, I'm not making great decisions. I'm having a hard time processing. So the chronic stress, especially right now, COVID is a great example. So I'm glad you're using that. We are now under chronic stress. And for those who have not integrated mechanisms to lower that cortisol, that stress hormone, and to manage that, found outlets that are healthy, then it becomes a chronic stress that is detrimental and negative for your health and can lead to chronic inflammation. Your body makes more sugar when you have higher levels of cortisol and stress hormones. And I've seen that in multiple patients in my career, that their sugar levels, their blood sugar levels, they had metabolic issues, they had insulin resistance or prediabetes, but they eat well, their lifestyle was good, they were mindful about their sleep. I mean, they meditated, they did everything right, except they did not manage their stress well. And when I measured in multiple instances their stress hormone, it was off the charts. So their adrenal system was completely taxed, and the body's response to that, to keep you alive, it's going to produce more sugar or make you crave, make you want to eat more carbs and sugar because it's a direct fuel. And then when that goes on for months, it's actually detrimental for your health. And that's what we're seeing right now in COVID.
Oh my goodness gracious. Hey folks, you're listening to Your Health right here on 97.9 The Rant. I'm talking with my co-host Melanie Dorian, nurse practitioner, functional and integrative medicine. And we are talking about hormones and stress and all kinds of interesting things and how to reduce them. So if a patient would come to you, Melanie, and they had their hormones out of whack, I say, or I should say suboptimal
Yep.
levels, how do you go about remedying that?
So it starts with good testing. You know, we have to get good data. In functional medicine, we're big fans of test and don't guess. We have really good tests, both blood and urine tests, to really assess these hormones. So it's important to actually have a good picture of what's going on and where the dysfunction is. Mm-hmm. And after that, I mean, it's functional medicine, as you know, is individualized medicine. So I'll have 5 different patients with very similar symptoms, but I might get 3, 4, 5 different hormone profile imbalances.
Oh my.
After that, we have to start supporting the body. And one of the things that Dr. Cope highlighted, and she's an amazing herbalist. Actually, we hung out together recently. I saw some of her herbal tinctures, and she's always so on point with her herbal medicine. She just reemphasized the need for herbals that help our bodies cope better and manage stress better. And there's a ton of them. So many amazing herbals that have been shown scientifically to be effective, such as Tulsi or Holy Basil. It's also one of my favorite. Ashwagandha, rhodiola, the ginseng family. So they are adaptogenic herbs. They are adaptogens. So they help the body adapt to stress better. But if you don't do the other diet and lifestyle piece, it's a Band-Aid on an infected cut. So adaptogens can only take you so far. Even the best adaptogenic combo from Dr. Cope or another talented herbalist will only take you so far. And then we got to work on sleep. Are you sleeping enough? Are you sleeping during the best hours? Are you getting daylight when your body needs daylight? Meaning you get up in the morning, you put your face in the sun. That tells your circadian rhythm, that lizard brain, to adjust the hormones properly. And then the stress hormones stop being produced at night and they start being produced in a normal pattern as a baseline normal level in the mornings as they should. So those are key things that I see in my practice is when we get a test. And sometimes we got to be super thorough when there's a lot of concerns and dysfunction. But then we got to adjust to sleep. When it comes to stress and stress hormones, we've got to make sure sleep is optimized. And then I always use herbals to support the body when the concern is, especially the stress hormones. I haven't found anything in other supplements or prescription world that works as well as an adaptogenic combo, adaptogenic herbs. When you can find the right herbs for your patient and the dysfunction, it's a game changer. Patients within sometimes days start feeling better, feeling less anxious, less stress, sleeping better, or better quality of sleep. Like, oh, I'm not sleeping more. I'm still sleeping just my 6 hours, but man, I woke up 50% more refreshed. And it just modulates the response to stress. And then people become more resilient, meaning they can then handle the stress that comes at them, which is super cool. So that's my approach at Be Vital and how typically we approach hormone imbalances in functional medicine.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Man, oh man, you know, that's why you tune into To Your Health, folks, because of the tips that you hear here. Some of our guests give us some great tips. And of course, Melanie has some great tips herself. And that's why she is the co-host and our resident expert, no doubt. Really do appreciate it. And so thanks again, Melanie.
It's always fun.
Yeah. Always fun, right here on To Your Health. Stay tuned next week for another show.
You've been listening to Your Health with your hosts, Mike McBee and Melanie Doring. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Be listening to 97.9 The Wren next Sunday morning at 8 for To Your Health.